booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. There is quite a bit happening in the news, and if you have your radio turned up, prepare to be informed. Welcome to the Early News. I'm Frank Morano.
Hi, Frankie. Yep, prepare to be informed and entertained and edified and all that other good stuff. But first, before we do anything, Frank, I want to get to the weather situation. We are looking at a flash flood watch that is going to be active today, starting about 2 o'clock, tomorrow, starting at 2 o'clock until Thursday at 2 o'clock. We're probably going to be getting the remnants of Ida. Obviously, Ida hit land and started to break up, which is what happens typically with these hurricanes, but we will still see a pretty heavy amount of rain. But in the meantime, for today, we're looking at a mix of clouds and sun during the morning. We'll have cloudy skies this afternoon, so it doesn't look like we're looking for much rain today. As we go into the evening, we'll see considerable clouds, and then after midnight, that's when the rain is going to start. Wednesday, today's going to be 86, by the way, so it's going to be a pretty balmy day. By the time we hit tomorrow, we've got heavy rain, rain all day long. We have the potential for flooding rains, as I just said. The temperature is going to dip down to about 72 degrees. The rain will continue through Wednesday night into Thursday as well. The temperatures will still stay pretty cool, around 72 degrees. We'll have that steady rain continuing on Thursday. And again, we could see some really heavy rains Thursday afternoon. By Thursday night, it clears up. We'll have mostly clear skies. And Friday, we're looking at an absolutely beautiful day, sunny with some afternoon puffy clouds and a high of 77 degrees, which looks pretty nice. So far, the weekend's looking okay. Looks like about 78 degrees on the weekend, but we'll get to that a little bit later on in the week. 76 degrees right now in New York City.
All right. Well, pack your umbrellas for tomorrow.
And Thursday.
Sounds like I may have to earmark my cigar for the week today before the precipitation gets too bad.
I'd wait till Friday.
Wait till Friday?
Yeah, just savor that those days of waiting and just get to Friday because it's going to be a beautiful day.
All right. Well, maybe I will. I have an indoor gathering scheduled on Friday, but we'll coordinate.
Okay.
All right. Tennessee is also bracing for flooding today as more remnants of Hurricane Ida drench the state. The storm moved through Mississippi, blowing down trees and power lines. Since the damage wasn't too extensive, crews are headed to Louisiana, where more than a million people are still without power. Other states have also sent help, but officials say some outages could last for 6 weeks. All flights in and out of New Orleans have been canceled.
Well, last week, the U.S. saw roughly 152,000 new cases a day of COVID. In other words, we're kind of blowing it when it comes to ending a pandemic that has torn the world's economies to shreds, including our own countries. And because we're blowing it, the European Union has recommended its 27 member countries pull back the welcome mat on U.S. visitors. However, and this is a big however, the New York Times reporting this only will apply to the unvaccinated. I had a feeling that was going to happen, as I told you yesterday, but I'll talk more about this in our Jet Set Juliet travel update at 5:40. But basically, if you're planning to vacation in Europe, you're going to need to brace yourself for imminent cancellation if you're not vaccinated. If you are vaccinated, there may be some member countries that get a little bit tougher with the rules, but we'll talk about that at 5:40.
5:07, let's get a look at traffic and transit on the sevens with Brandy Scott.
Well, that new traffic pattern on the BQE already causing some solid delays. Eastbound, you're down to two lanes between Atlantic Avenue and the Brooklyn Bridge. Overnight roadwork at the outbound George on the lower deck in the process of being cleared. Heavy ride on the Cross Bronx westbound from the Deegan. This report is sponsored by UPSjobs.com. Ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring as a warehouse worker. You'll earn up to $20 an hour. Apply today at upsjobs.com/cranberry. I'm Brandy Scott from the Traffic Center on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Brandy. We have some local news to talk about now. A correction officer here in New York City was just beaten to a pulp, hospitalized after a violent attack by an inmate. It happened at Rikers Island just after 9 a.m. yesterday morning. The guy received a fractured skull, fractured orbital, fractured nose, among other things, according to officials. He, again, was taken to the hospital for treatment. The inmate was rearrested, charged with attempted murder in the first degree. We don't know his name yet. The Department of Corrections said it's working with the Bronx DA to continue investigating the incident, but obviously this is something that should never happen. The Correction Officers Benevolent Association president blames the incident on de Blasio, the mayor, for his failure to keep prison guards safe, and he says that the blood is on de Blasio's hands.
A massive pipeline is expected to start pumping again after being shut down due to Hurricane Ida. This only affects two gas lines from Texas to North Carolina. Crews at Colonial Pipeline were able to assess damage yesterday and perform safety checks. The closure isn't expected to cause gas shortages or price hikes. The company urged drivers to stay calm and not rush into panic buying like many did during the last shutdown.
Well, last week, like I said, we saw roughly 152,000 new COVID cases a day. We've got still a big problem here. But I got to tell you, if you're still convinced that taking a drug that's used to deworm cows and horses is a great way to fight it, maybe this will change your mind. Ivermectin, which is this particular deworming drug, looked pretty appealing to folks down in Arkansas, thanks to lawmakers and some cable channel entertainers touting it as a COVID drug, despite the fact that the CDC gave it a hard no when it comes to using it to treat COVID. But a bunch of people did use it, and that caused the state's poison hotline to be inundated with calls after people ingested the stuff. Once again, the CDC, and again, these are experts when it comes to medicines, you know, not local yokel lawmakers. The CDC says overdosing on ivermectin can cause severe seizures, stomach problems, and death. By the way, a Georgia police officer who went viral after posting a series of anti-vaxxer messages has died. Captain Joe Manning is his name. He was only 57 years old. He refused to get a vaccine, and instead he took this ivermectin stuff. He blasted the CDC and doctors for saying it wasn't safe, but like I said, it is not safe, and he recently died of COVID. Mm. So stay away from this stuff.
President Biden will address the nation today on officially marking the end of America's longest war. The last military flight took off from Afghanistan yesterday, 24 hours early and 20 years after the U.S. invaded. More than 120,000 people were evacuated in the last 2 months. Up to 100,000 were left behind, including more than 100 Americans. The Taliban tweeted this morning, quote, "Our country has achieved a full independence," close quote.
Well, thanks to a rise in COVID cases and hospitalizations, September's annual Juve Fest is once again off. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says just like last year, there will be a virtual celebration instead. Meantime, the mayor says the city has a good supply of vaccine doses, so it does not appear we're going to have any issues with shortages, at least not anytime soon. And finally, the Delta variant over the last month made up 97% of all cases here in New York State, in New York City, in the last week alone, Delta cases made up 99% of all infections.
The governor of New Jersey is sending condolences and prayers after a lightning strike killed a lifeguard. It happened yesterday on a beach in Ocean County amidst a thunderstorm 3 miles away. Seven people were also struck and taken to hospitals, including three other lifeguards. Police say all beaches in Berkeley Township will be closed for swimming until Friday as the staff will be off.
Democrats on the committee investigating the January 6th insurrection are facing a wave of legal battles, I have a feeling, after announcing that they plan on trying to get their hands on the phone records of some of the top players on the Trump team during that time, namely his family members, their spouses, Kimberly Guilfoyle, you know, people who were right around President Trump, former President Trump, during that riot day. And certain Trump-friendly lawmakers, including Representatives Lauren Boebert, Matt Gaetz, Jim Jordan, and Marjorie Taylor Greene. The move could be a signal that those names are going to be called as witnesses. But I have a feeling that's definitely a signal.
The CDC is adding a whole bunch of locations to its places that they deemed very high risk, as Juliet alluded to, and we'll get into more on the Jet Set Juliet travel report. But One thing that you can still do, well, Juve may be canceled, flights to Europe may be on hold, at least for the unvaccinated. One thing you could still do is the U.S. Open. The world's best tennis players are competing in the U.S. Open here in New York. On the men's side, John Isner was upset in the first round by Brandon Nakajima, and Stefanos Tsitsipas survived five sets against former U.S. Open champion Andy Murray to advance. On the women's side, 17-year-old Coco Gauff beat Magda Linette in three sets. She'll now take on Sloane Stephens, who defeated Madison Keys in the second round. Well, if tennis is not your game, perhaps baseball is, and that is some of what Matt Sapienza will be telling you about in the sports report.
Matt, you there?
I'm right here.
Oh, what a lovely. It's a little early, I know.
No, yeah, sorry about that.
Just to let all the listeners know, Matt is in the studio in the control room, basically, and he's doing things, and he's got things going.
Yeah, he's got a lot going on.
So he might not have heard that.
Yeah, I'll give you
three different hats.
Yes, exactly.
All right, well, here we go with your Peeler's Boiler sports report. The Mets were off ahead of today's doubleheader against the Marlins at the house that David Wright built later today, but they're slowly rising, but the Yanks, they are a-fallen. Shohei Ohtani hit his major league-leading 42nd home run. Jack Mayfield connected for his first grand slam, and the Los Angeles Angels were able to defeat the Yankees 8-7. Despite the long balls from Ohtani and Mayfield, the difference in the game ended up being a two-out single by Juan Lagares off Clay Holmes that drove in Brandon Marsh with the go-ahead run in the eighth inning. The Yankees lost three in a row following a 13-game winning streak. This report's brought to you by Peerless Boilers. They do make America's best boilers. You can check them out at PeerlessBoilers.com. With sports at 15 and 45, Matt Sapienza, the very awake Matt Sapienza, WABC Sports.
We know you
Matt
are.
TV, okay?
We know you and Molly are definitely awake. By the way, I really liked Molly's reaction to this David Duchovny song. I thought it was very cute.
You've heard that song, right, Julia?
I have never heard that song
really?
Before. No,
well.
Never. But, I, you know, it doesn't surprise me that Molly watched The X-Files, because The X-Files is sort of a cerebral show. And Molly's a very intelligent young lady.
Yes, she's sort of a cerebral person.
Yes, sort of is an understatement. Definitely. She's very, very cool, too. I really like Molly.
Indeed.
And great,
Molly's
great
awesome. Yes. Yeah.
I concur.
They're excellent colleagues, and they're very, you know, they're very ambitious and committed young workers.
Yeah.
And I hope you don't take offense to me by saying young, but you guys are pretty young. And that always impresses me, because I think that, you know, the Generation X's and the Y's, they all get, you know, millennials, sometimes they get insulted, not Generation X, but Generation Y and millennials sometimes get insulted for being lazy and being sort of entitled, and these two are the antithesis of that.
All right. Well, one of those millennials who is not lazy, but she is a little entitled, is doing the traffic for us this morning, and that is Brandi Scott.
Great. Already on the BQE eastbound, heading over to the Brooklyn Bridge. We've got that long-term road work out there. You're down to two lanes from Atlantic Avenue. Atlantic Avenue also shut down in both directions between the BQE and Hicks Street. Ongoing accident investigation. It's a bumper-to-bumper ride on the inbound Gowanus from the Prospect. Looking good at the outbound George. Construction cleared on the lower deck. Inbound across the Hudson in great shape at the George, Lincoln, and Hollins. I'm Brandi Scott from the Traffic Center on Talk Radio 77. WABC.
Okay, thanks very much, Brandi. Coming up in your Jet Set Juliet travel update, we have a lot to unwrap here. I'm going to help break down this big news from the EU with regard to whether Americans are welcome over in Europe or not. Hint, if you're vaccinated, you can breathe a little easier. Also, why are more people waiting till the 11th hour to decide why they're going, where they're going to go for Labor Day? I'm going to tell you. Plus, if you're planning on taking a road trip, I'll tell you which day is the best to leave for your long weekend and which days to avoid. Plus, we've got Frank's Biz Buzz. What are we talking about there?
Well, still a lot of concern about what this hurricane means for gas prices, but we are going to see U.S. home price indexes out today. So I'll tell you about that, as well as what this Colonial Pipeline means for what you can expect to pay at the pump.
Plus, we have on this day, August 31st, and today I will be beginning with the year 1997, because this was a fateful day in history. And usually I like to go way, 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 way back into ancient times, but I've got to start off with this day, because this was the day that Diana, Princess of Wales, Princess of Wales was killed in a car accident.
Congratulations as well to our new assistant program director, Matt Meaney, who we hope will be a benevolent leader or assistant leader.
I am so excited for that. That's fantastic.
Absolutely. Congratulations to him.
What's going on in the biz buzz?
All right. Well, the opening bell rings this morning after a mixed day on Wall Street to kick off the new trading week. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones lost nearly 56 points. The S&P 500 rose 19 points, and the NASDAQ climbed 136 points. The focus today is on housing prices. The Case-Shiller Home Price Index for June leads off, and housing industry analysts forecast a 1.9% rise over May and an 18% increase over June of 2020. The numbers are due at 9 o'clock this morning, along with the U.S. House Price Index for June. The experts see a 1.6% bump over May and a 19% rise over June of last year. And finally, we can expect higher prices at the pump after Hurricane Ida ripped through Louisiana. Colonial Pipeline closed two fuel lines that run between Houston, Texas, and North Carolina. In a statement, they say it was a routine safety measure. The pipelines provide nearly half of the East Coast's gas and diesel. One of those pipelines was forced to go offline in May after a ransomware attack that led to panic buying and a gas shortage, Juliet.
Well, we have some updates now on the former governor, the state worker who accused ex-governor, New York governor, Andrew Cuomo of groping her inside the executive mansion has met with criminal investigators. This apparently happened, and authorities are using subpoenas to gather additional evidence, according to Albany County Sheriff Craig Apple. He says Brittany Camiso, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, who is 33 years old, spent several hours talking to investigators in connection with this complaint that she filed against the 63-year-old so-called former Love Gov earlier this month. Law enforcement officials have issued, again, several subpoenas related to these allegations that she made. Apple didn't say which evidence they're looking for or from whom. The sheriff had previously said that Cuomo could face a couple of misdemeanor charges based on her allegations. He didn't say now whether or not her interview on Monday had changed that and increased his, you know, maybe potential legal exposure. So her interview and the issuance of subpoenas were first reported by the Albany Times Union. She says that Cuomo reached under her shirt and grabbed one of her breasts. Obviously, this is a very serious accusation. And I believe from everything that I've heard and recalled, this is the most serious accusation in this 168-page report by the state attorney general, Letitia James, that came out on August 3rd.
The director of Candyman is making history. Nia DaCosta is the first black woman director to have a movie debut in top place at the box office. Her horror film is a follow-up to the 1992 original. It raked in $22 million over the weekend. DaCosta said the pressure around such a highly anticipated project was distracting and overwhelming at times, but she felt safe because Jordan Peele co-wrote and produced the film.
Well, you know, Frank, I know we're not really supposed to give the opinions and the editorializations on the show, but I'm curious as to what you think about the situation. Some of the family members who are obviously devastated by the loss of their children, or their loved ones, over in Kabul at the airport in this ISIS-K bombing. A couple of the fathers have done some interviews, as has that mother that you've heard recently, including here on the show, and I believe on Bernie and Sid. Some of these fathers are now speaking out, two of them actually, and the accusations are just really just kind of brutal. Mark Schmidt's son, Jared, was one of the 13 service members killed in Kabul. He was only 20 years old. Darren Hoover's son, Taylor, was 31. He was set to retire, and he was set to marry when he got home. Schmidt, whose, again, son is Jared, said that he met Joe Biden over the weekend, and he said it didn't go well. Hoover said he didn't even want to see the president, did not want to meet him. Both fathers were on Hannity's show last night. They said that they were angry at the way Biden behaved on Sunday at Dover Air Force Base. One of the parents accused him of repeatedly checking his watch as the bodies were returned. One father actually said, I don't know which one it was, that the president continued to check his watch every time a casket was removed from the plane. I didn't see that. I don't know if that's accurate. Frank, did you see that?
I didn't see it, but I heard that that was reported.
Yeah. Also, one of the fathers slammed the president for talking about his son more than mine, which I think is a fairly, I mean, it's an understandable accusation because, of course, he does bring up his son pretty much every time that there is some sort of devastating loss for other people, just to try to show his empathy. But sometimes it's just not, I think, the time and place to do it. But anyway, I was just curious about what you felt.
Well, look, I'm not going to question what any parent that loses a child, how they choose to express that grief. Some people may choose not to say anything. Other people may choose to be very vocal with the perceived policy failures that they think led to their loved one's death. I'm not going to question anybody's reaction.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you've got the media and you've got other, you know, outlets and other entities really jumping on that and you know, saying, well, why, if you're going to blame Biden, why not blame Trump? Or if you're going to blame Trump, why not blame Biden? You know, it's just that kind of stuff that's just tearing this country apart. But yes, I agree with you. These family members are devastated. If it was one of my kids, you better believe I'd be infuriated with Biden. All right. So moving along, that was one story about the situation. Also, 90 retired generals and admirals have called for Lloyd Austin, the defense secretary, and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, to resign. These are, again, 90 retired generals and admirals. They say that the call is based on negligence in performing their duties, primarily involving events surrounding the, quote, disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan.
All right, 527. Let's get a look at traffic and transit on the sevens with Brandy Scott.
Have a go ride on the FDR southbound heading over to 71st Street. Overnight road work out there blocking two lanes. Bumper to bumper on the BQE eastbound heading over to Atlantic Avenue. Atlantic Avenue closed in both directions over by Hick Street. Solid slowdowns go back onto the inbound Gowanus from the Prospect. This report is sponsored by Indeed.com. Hitting speed bumps in your hiring process. Streamline your route to hired with Indeed. Visit Indeed.com. /credit. I'm Brandy Scott from the Traffic Center on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Brandy. Coming up in your Jet Set Juliet travel update at 5:40, I'm going to help break down the big news from the EU regarding Americans traveling over to the EU. And I'll tell you why I think some countries will make it tougher for even vaccinated Americans to travel to Europe. And it breaks down to one word, actually one name, Biden. Also, why people are waiting till the 11th hour to decide where they're going to go for Labor Day. And if you're planning on taking a road trip, what days you might want to avoid going. That's coming up at 5:40. Plus, we have On This Day coming up.
Morning, I'm Deborah Valentine. Ida is now a tropical depression. It caused a deadly bridge collapse in Mississippi due to Ida. Fox weather correspondent Steve Bender describes the damage.
Overnight, we go to Mississippi, where Highway 26, just outside of Loosedale, completely collapsed. This killed two and actually injured 10 others.
Louisiana's governor describes damage from Ida to their power grid as catastrophic. New Orleans could be without power for weeks. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says U.S. will work to aid the safe exodus of 200 Americans left behind in Afghanistan. Two people shot. It happened on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. An 81-year-old man shot in his foot, a 45-year-old man shot in his chest. Both were taken to St. Luke's and expected to survive. Police say so far no arrests. New York taxpayers, they are on the hook for $9.5 million of former Governor Cuomo's legal bills. Another $5 million is being paid by his campaign finance committee. An 80-pound cougar has been removed from a Bronx apartment. The cougar is headed to the Turpentine Creek Wildlife Refuge in Arkansas. No charges announced against the cougar's owner. And that's your 77-second WABC News update. Juliet will have your forecast from the Ramsey Subaru Weather Center. Right now, 73 clear skies. I'm Deborah Valentine.
On this day, Frank, August 31st, like I said, I have to start because she's my girl. 1997, Diana, Princess of Wales, the former wife of Prince Charles, who will someday be king, most likely sooner than later. Diana was killed in a horrific car crash in the Pont de l'Alma tunnel in Paris after being chased and hounded by reckless paparazzi. She was with her boyfriend, Dodi Fayed. No, they were not engaged. They were not going to be engaged. She was also being driven by Henri Paul, who was Dodie's dad, Mohammed Al-Fayed's driver. Al-Fayed, by the way, is an Egyptian businessman. He's still alive. He owned the Ritz Hotel in Paris, which is where they had just left after having dinner. He also owned Harrods department store in London. The only survivor in this crash was Diana's bodyguard, Trevor Rees-Jones. He went on to write a book called The Bodyguard's Story, even though he didn't really recall much from the crash itself. His face was completely flattened. But he said he did so because he wanted to clear up some things, and he also wanted to shut down the accusations by Al-Fayed, who blamed him for not doing his job and causing this horrible, horrible day. It was such a, I mean, I remember it like it was yesterday. Do you remember it at all?
Absolutely, vividly, absolutely.
I mean, I was so upset, and I remember going to work the next day. I was working in Jacksonville, and I mean, I had no idea. I could not explain why I was so upset over this. I just kept bursting into tears. Everybody kept bursting into tears. It was crazy.
Yeah, no, I mean, I remember it happened right around same time, maybe just a couple of months after Phil Hartman was killed. And to lose Phil Hartman and Princess Diana within the span of a few months was just
terrible. Also Gianni Versace. I mean, she had been at his funeral about a month before, I think it was. Yeah, crazy.
On this day in 1887... Thomas Edison received a patent for the kinetographic camera. The device produced moving pictures.
That's right. And on this day in 1422, Henry VI becomes the King of England. He was only 9 months old. He was the son of Henry IV and Catherine of Valois. Henry VI's little brother, Edmund, became the father of the future Henry VII.
In 1888... the body of Jack the Ripper's first victim was discovered in London. The serial killer would go on to strike 5 more times over the next 3 years.
Do you remember her name?
No.
Marianne Nichols.
Oh.
And she was found in Whitechapel, which is on the east end of London. In 1745, on this day, August 31st, it was the Jacobite Rising, famous for Bonnie Prince Charlie, who was determined to take back the power. He reached Blair Castle in Scotland, and I was supposed to do a little bit more due diligence and find out why that was significant, but I forgot to do it. Sorry.
On this day in 1969, former heavyweight boxing champion Rocky Marciano was killed in an airplane crash in Iowa. He's the only heavyweight champion to have finished his career undefeated.
That was Rocky Marciano?
Yes.
All right. Well, on this day in 1836, the HMS Beagle anchored in Cape Verde Islands, and that was significant because that was sort of the beginning of Charles Darwin's investigation and analysis that ended up becoming sort of the basis for his survival of the fittest concept.
Mm. Well, on this day in 1987, Michael Jackson's album Bad was released with more than 2 million in advanced sales.
On this day, August 31st, 1837, Ralph Waldo Emerson gave his famous The American Scholar speech at Harvard, declaring American literary independence from Europe.
On this day in 2004, Hollywood action star turned California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger addressed the Republican National Convention in New York City. Schwarzenegger brought the crowd to its feet, telling people who were pessimistic about the nation's economy to, quote, not be economic girly men.
And on this day, August 31st, 1842, the U.S. Naval Observatory was authorized by Congress.
On this day in 2005, in the wake of Hurricane Katrina, emergency management officials began moving approximately 23,000 beleaguered New Orleans residents stranded inside the Superdome to the Astrodome in Houston, Texas. Conditions inside the Superdome began to deteriorate soon after Katrina hit, and the dome was surrounded by filthy water and was without power and air conditioning in the aftermath of the hurricane.
You know, I remember the coverage that Fox was doing because I was there at the time, Fox News. And this coverage, Katrina's coverage, was, I believe, what made Shepard Smith a superstar. He also got a lot of flack for it because he was very critical of then-President George W. Bush and how he handled the whole Superdome situation and just the Katrina situation in general. And it was a real shock, I think, to some of the Fox listeners and watchers who were like, wait, what? So he's criticizing the president? It really showed how Smith was extremely fair in his reporting, and he would criticize even when he felt like he might get in trouble with the bosses.
5:37, someone that's very fair in her traffic reporting is the one and only Brandy Scott. Hello, Brandy.
Action out there blocking a lane. You're up to speed on the LIE westbound approaching Queens Boulevard from La Crosse Island. Not moving much on the BQE eastbound heading over to Atlantic Avenue and the Brooklyn Bridge. Not only do we have that long-term road work out there, but Atlantic Avenue closed in both directions by Hicks Street for an ongoing accident investigation. Delays building on the inbound Gowanus. You are jammed from 38th Street. I'm Brandy Scott from the Traffic Center on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Brandy. I have to tell you, there is a crazy story. I don't know if you heard this yesterday. The Bill de Blasio press conference, he has blamed crime in this city on something that I just find astounding. Absolutely astounding. Frank, would you like to know what that is?
I know what it is, and I share your being astounded.
But before we do that, I think that you have some biz buzz to get to.
I do.
And we also have the Jets at Juliet.
I do indeed. The opening bell rings this morning after a mixed day on Wall Street to kick off the new trading week. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrial lost nearly 56 points. The S&P 500 rose 19 points and the NASDAQ climbed 136 points. McDonald's is reportedly considering closing its dining rooms again as the Delta variant has COVID-19 cases surging across the country. Reuters reporting that the fast food giant has told the franchise holders about steps to take to shut down indoor dining in areas heavily affected by this highly contagious Delta variant. McDonald's closed indoor seating and play areas in March of last year when Americans were asked to stay home to stop the spread of the coronavirus. The company started slowly reopening indoor dining this past May. And the threat of eviction is becoming real for many Americans. Goldman Sachs says up to 750,000 households are looking at possible eviction after the Supreme Court refused to uphold the CDC's latest moratorium. Goldman noted back rent that's due to landlords is between $12 and $17 billion. Up to 3.5 million households are behind on their payments. Juliet.
Time now for your Jet Set Julia travel update. As I warned yesterday, the European Union has recommended its 27 member countries pull back the welcome mat on U.S. visitors. However, and again, as I said earlier, it's a big however, the New York Times reporting this only applies to the unvaccinated. So basically, if you're planning a vacation in Europe, you may need to brace yourself for imminent cancellation if you're not vaccinated. Also, this is just guidance, advice. It's not binding, which means each country can pretty much decide for itself which new rules, if any, it wants to impose on American travelers. So that's good news. The bad news is this is yet another huge blow to the travel industry. But by the same token, it could have been a heck of a lot worse. There was a real concern that this would include vaccinated Americans as well. So again, the 27 member countries belonging to the EU do not have to follow this guidance. But I would imagine some countries will. For a few reasons. Number one, there are certain countries who've just been very mindful when it comes to keeping their numbers down. And this may be the impetus for them, the excuse for them, I guess, to tighten their health and safety regulations when it comes to allowing tourists in. Number two, there are potentially countries that will use this as an excuse to kind of give the middle finger to the U.S. because President Biden still has not lifted restrictions on people wanting to visit the U.S. This lack of reciprocity is, I mean, to me, it's just mind-boggling at this point. It goes against science. It's hurting several sectors, not to mention eroding goodwill between our country and the rest of the world. It's just killing the economy and killing the travel industry. But I think most countries realize that shutting out Americans means massive tourism dollars down the drain. And after what the entire world collectively has gone through because of this pandemic, we really can't afford to do that. This country can't afford to do that. Other countries can't afford to do that. And it's important to note that in hotspots like France and Greece, Italy, Spain, you know, places where Americans really love to go, when it comes to tourist numbers, the U.S. is either right at the top or right near the top. We spend a lot of money and a lot of us go to Europe, to these hotspots. So now, basically we're going to have to stay on top of which countries are going to make changes, which countries won't, you know, how drastic the changes will be. So make sure you listen every day to this segment because I'll have the latest information for you. Moving on. Labor Day is just around the corner, as you know, and I told you yesterday, Vegas is the top of the list when it comes to long weekend getaway hotspots for Americans, understandably. But there are some other trends happening this year. TripAdvisor reports more Americans are waiting till the last minute to book their plans. Orbitz reports a huge number of customers are waiting till this week to solidify their plans specifically. I'm guessing the reasons likely are, well, basically it's twofold, I think. You can get much better deals when you wait till the 11th hour. But also, some people are just hesitant about traveling with COVID cases skyrocketing. They kind of want to see, like, what's going on, you know, get the lay of the land. They may be sort of procrastinating and waiting till that last minute. Also, Orbitz says people are taking off on their own this Labor Day, like single trips, solo trips. Booking for round-trip flights for one person are up more than 200% over last year. Boston and Seattle are really big with single travelers, apparently. And just like last year, people are choosing to do things outside. I mean, this is pretty obvious. National parks, the Pacific Northwest, and coastal communities up in our area are really big this year. So, you know, the Jersey Shore, the Hamptons, that kind of thing, Newport. But still, some folks are cool with being wall-to-wall, although thanks to COVID, it won't be as bad as it was in recent years because of local restrictions. New York City, Los Angeles, Orlando, Denver, and Chicago are up there on travel itineraries. Another interesting change, TripIt and TripAdvisor are both warning. If you're going to take a road trip, don't expect the nation's highways and the nation's roads to be traffic-free on Wednesday and Thursday. Because both outlets say people are making a longer weekend out of this Labor Day weekend this year, so they'll start to leave earlier. So I'm going to tell you, I think probably leaving on Wednesday is going to be fine, but once you hit Thursday, I think it's going to be problematic. And even Wednesday could be problematic. So if you really want to get a jump on things, I guess leave on Tuesday and just make it basically a long vacation. And a couple other things. A new Italian airline hoping to make its presence known here in the U.S. I told you Friday that Alitalia is closing shop as of mid-October. Well, this new airline, ITA, is for all intents and purposes its replacement. It's going to be much more streamlined. It won't have as many routes. The routes will be limited. Looks like we can expect routes from Milan to New York and Rome to your choice of New York, Boston, or Miami. And these flights will also be cheaper than the Alitalia flights, I'm being told. And this is great news. British Airways is looking to get into the low-cost airline realm. I'm hearing they may launch a branch that would compete with EasyJet and Ryanair. So if you're over in Europe, for example, lots of folks like to travel to one place. I mean, we would travel, let's say, we'd fly to London, and then we take the train from London to Paris for a few days, and then we take a flight from Paris on EasyJet or Ryanair over to Rome. I mean, stuff like that. So this is just another possible airline that could help reduce prices, which would be really great. And that's your Jet Set Julia travel update.
So, Julia, do you think that any airlines will follow suit for domestic flights and start prohibiting people from going, say, from California to New York if they're not vaccinated? Do you think that's the next step?
That's a really good question.
Thank you.
I would venture to say you may see that. There are airlines right now that are extremely strict with the mask mandates and you know, extremely strict with their crew members having to be vaccinated, United, for instance. So I think that's a possibility. I mean, I'm not going to rule it out. I don't know if it's high. I'd say maybe 50-50.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Better odds than I have at the Baccarat table.
How much did you lose? I haven't heard this.
I lost about $600 or $700.
Oh!
But, you know, honestly, I was ahead so much the last few trips that I was due. I was due, you know. The streak had to come to an end. And you know what my problem was? I was rushing. That's the problem.
Why were you rushing?
Because my wife had gone to bed. I wanted to see her before she fell asleep. Aww. But I still wanted to play a little bit. You know, I don't know. We'll chat tomorrow. If you come in a little early, we'll chat about my
real quick
shenanigans. Yes.
Real quick. Have you decided on a name for like a boy or a girl?
Let us discuss that tomorrow on the overnight show. I love the name Juliet, actually. I think it's delightful. All right. 5:45. Let's get a look at sports with the fully vaccinated Matt Sapienza.
Indeed, I am. And now here we go with your Peerless Boiler Sports Report. The Mets were off yesterday ahead of today's doubleheader against the Marlins at the house that David Wright built. But they're slowly rising, but the Yanks, they are a-fallen. Shohei Ohtani hit his major league leading 42nd home run. Jack Mayfield connected for his first grand slam, and the Los Angeles Angels were able to defeat the Yankees 8-7. Despite the long balls from Ohtani and Mayfield, the difference in the game ended up being a two-out single by Juan Lagares off Clay Holmes that drove in Brandon Marsh with the go-ahead run in the eighth inning. The Yankees have lost three in a row following a 13-game winning streak. This report brought to you by Peerless Boilers. They do make America's best boilers. You can check them out at peerlessboilers.com. With sports at 15 and 45, I'm Matt Safians of WABC Sports. Back to you guys.
Thank you very much, Matthew. Let's get to some other stories. This one kind of blew my mind. Oh, this de Blasio. The mayor of New York City yesterday blamed the city's high crime rate on the courts. The court's fault. That's why there's so much crime in New York City. In a press conference,
you're not buying it, Juliet. You sound skeptical.
I'm just okay. In a press conference yesterday, he made, and I will admit, a somewhat astounding revelation that the courts have rendered just 18 criminal verdicts in the first half of this year. Okay, that's shocking. But that's what happened after a crime. Like, that's not gonna affect how many crimes are being committed. I don't think that he thinks that we get that. But that's compared to 405 during the same period in 2019. Now, he's saying that this is because of the pandemic and the court system isn't functioning normally, and that's having a bigger impact than almost any factor right now on high crime, because the courts aren't functioning. So that's making people commit crimes.
Well, people are very upset about those slow courts.
I am ready to go on a shooting spree because of this. So he basically says because there's an absence of consequences for a variety of crimes, that's what's making people say, hey, you know what? I'm going to go murder somebody.
All right, 547, would never murder anyone is Brandy Scott, who's got the traffic and transit. Hello, Brandy.
Hitting the brakes on the New England Thruway southbound, approaching Pelham Parkway. A crash out there blocking a lane. Volume on the LIE westbound, approaching the Grand Central from La Crosse Island. Still in great shape inbound across the Hudson River, looking good at the George Lincoln and Holland. This report is sponsored by Anthem Blue Cross. Anthem Blue Cross and Heart of America are helping schools across the country increase their access to healthy food. Learn more at empirebluecross.com/NYLiberty. I'm Brandy Scott from the Traffic Center on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thanks, Brandy. We've got a preview of what's coming up on Bernie and Sid. And also, we've got to get you this story. Attention, all of you F cancer folks. A potential life-changing, game-changing breakthrough in the battle against the dreaded disease. It's hard to say. We got to say hello to Ben, a.k.a. DJ Amplified. He's on Twitter. He is a big listener of our show. He's down in Orlando, by the way. He listens to our show. He has listened to our show for years. This guy is the best guy. I love him. I've never met him before, but he's so cool. He's really, really freaked out because of this EU travel situation, because he's actually leaving today for Europe. He's got this amazing trip with his loved one, wife, planned. So DJ Amplified, I think you're going to be okay. I honestly think you're going to be okay. He's vaccinated, so I think he's good. And I hope you have a wonderful time. And hello, he's listening to us live right now.
Well, wonderful. Hello to DJ Amplified. And hello to the Amplified and fully vaccinated Sid Rosenberg.
I am, Sydney. Both of those things. Good morning. How are you guys today?
Good. You know, I wanted to tell you something just because I know that you probably were going to have comments about this. There may be a really significant breakthrough in battling cancer. Researchers at the University of British Columbia discovered some sort of protein. They've narrowed down a protein that helps cancerous cells grow faster. And they say if we can stop this protein, we could treat even the most deadly forms of cancer, including breast, pancreatic, lungs, bowel, and prostate. The study says that this could be the Achilles heel that we've needed to know about.
Wow, that is a huge story.
That's huge. I know.
Very promising.
Oh, I hope so.
We've all been affected. We've all lost somebody to cancer. All of us.
Everybody.
And It's enough. So if that's true and we really have a breakthrough, that's a great way to start the day.
Yeah, exactly.
Great way to start the day.
How are you? It's a great way to start the day with you.
Well, thank you, Sidon. I'm tired today. I was out late last night, very late.
I didn't get
home from Upper Montclair, New Jersey till about 11 o'clock last night.
Wow.
That's a long day.
That's unlike you. You usually are pretty disciplined.
I usually am, but I was at this golf tournament, and by the time everybody was finished speaking and the auction and then getting home from Upper Montclair, I think I walked in at 10:48 p.m.
Oh, my gosh.
But it was a great day, a great day. We celebrated the life of former Giant head coach Jim Fossil. Everybody from Michael Strahan to Tiki Barber to Congressman Peter King to John Elway to Phil Sims. Just a star-studded great event and a beautiful dinner. Mike Martucci set the whole thing up. So it was a late night, but we are going to have a big show this morning. Congressman Peter King will be on. He was there last night.
Wow.
My dear friend Bo Deedle, he was there last night. He'll be on today, as will Laura Curran, running for Nassau County executive. And she was on stage. I saw this. I wasn't there. But I saw this on Facebook, Juliet and Frank, over the weekend. She was on stage with Chad Lopez at the Tony Orlando concert. So I guess she is now a part of the WABC family to a certain extent.
I like her too.
Mm-hmm. I like her too. She vetoed that bill that doesn't allow the cops to sue folks. But as she explained to me, she said, Sid, listen, I'm all for that. It's the rest of the bill that was no good, and I had no choice but to veto it, vote against it, even though on the surface that particular part of it, which Bernie really got upset about, is something that I am for. But the rest of the bill sucked, so I vetoed it. That's the bottom
people
line.
Will have the opportunity to choose between her and Bruce Blakeman this
right,
year, right?
Right. So. Bruce Blakeman, of course, most famous because his ex-wife left him for Paul McCartney.
Oh, I think there was some time in between.
No, there was no time.
I don't think that's true.
And his brother, right, is Brad Blakeman.
Brad Blakeman, right.
So that's the show today.
They're still very good friends, I understand. Nancy,
who's that?
Nancy Chevelle and Bruce Blakeman.
How do you do that? How do you stay friendly with somebody that you used to have sex with, that is now having sex with somebody else?
Who care?
I can't do it.
I'll give
really?
You this one
Yeah,
example.
I can't do it.
So my friend John Tirolosi, big listener to our show.
Yeah.
His ex-wife is a hairstylist. Mm. She cuts his current wife's hair.
I don't know. That's crazy.
Can you imagine?
Listen, as long as you have it, you know that the person that you're splitting up with is a decent human being,
doesn't
a good
matter.
Person.
You're way too mature
cares?
For me. I care. I don't understand, like Dolores, for example, she's still friendly with Frank for 22 years. They've been divorced for 22 years. They're still best friends. There's nothing there. But I say that, you know, I said to Danielle all the time, I'm like, if you ever break up, I can't talk to you. Well, you have kids. I go, it doesn't matter. Can't do it.
I don't know.
It's a Brooklyn thing. You would understand it, Juliet and Frank. It's a
well,
Brooklyn
no, it's
thing.
A guy thing. I think more guys say that than women.
Of course. Because you guys claim that you're the ones who are all about emotion and all that nonsense. And then at the end of the day, it's us.
I think it depends on. And you know what? I'm gonna bring this up on the other side of midnight tomorrow to find out how other people have dealt with that. But I've known a lot of divorced couples that they stay friendly for many, many years.
I know. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's nice, especially if you're talking about it.
By the way,
20
they don't
years
really,
later.
They don't really like each other.
So, Julia,
when you shoot them with truth serum, they'll tell you they don't really like each other. They've got kids or they've got other responsibilities. So they're forced to talk, but they don't really like each other.
Juliet, do you have a friendly relationship? Not cordial, but friendly relationship with any of your ex-husbands?
How many are there?
There's three. No to the first one. Definitely no to the second one, who had a 12-year-old daughter that
point.
I never knew about.
You're proving my point.
Well, no, but the third one, not because of me, because the third one, I mean, who is a wonderful person, is actually from Huntington. Great guy. We were best friends. We never should have gotten married, but I was like, oh my God, you know, I'm getting older. Maybe
is that
should
a yes
be
or
friend.
A no to my question? Well, are you friendly?
No, but not to the husbands, but to exes. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'm friends with a guy. I dated him for 5 years. He proposed to me, and we're friends. Yeah,
but not husbands. Oh, well, for three for Julia.
We will revisit this in the 4 o'clock hour tomorrow.
You will say, if men are honest, they want no part of a woman that they were with for many, many years, loved, whatever, had this intimacy, and now she's with somebody else. See ya.
Yeah, but this
no
guy, my third husband, Doug, sweetheart. He's married, happily married, has kids, the dogs and everything. Life is great for him. So it's like, I couldn't be happier.
Third time was not the charm.
It wasn't the charm.
All right. All right, so we got Peter King.
But the first time was annulled, so really it was the third time.
Yeah. Peter King, Bo Deedle, and Laura Curran for now.
All right.
All right, guys. I love you both.
Find out Laura Curran's relationship with her ex-husband.
Yeah, you know, in fact, you could spend your four-hour show just devoted to each one of my
we don't want to give away the other side of Midnight Talk topics too early. All right, we want to thank Peerless Boilers for making Sid Rosenberg available to us, and we want to thank Brandy Scott for doing such a great job.
Thanks,
with the
Brandy.
Traffic this morning.
The New England Thruway southbound approaching Pelham Parkway. A collision out there blocking a lane. You are jammed from Bartow Avenue. Slow go getting across the East River at the Whitestone Bridge. Collision taking out a lane moving into Queens on the Bronx side. This report is sponsored by Indeed.com. Hitting a speed bump in your hiring process will streamline your route to hired with Indeed. Learn more at Indeed.com/credit. I'm Brandy Scott from the Traffic Center on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thanks, Brandy. Oh, it's going to be a really warm day. We'll have a mix of clouds and sun in the morning. Cloudy skies this afternoon. As we head into the evening, after about midnight, the rain starts, and that will not end until Friday. We'll have about 72 degrees for Wednesday and Thursday as a high. Friday looks like a beautiful day, Frank. It's the day that you need to take out that cigar.
All right. Well, I was putting together a cocktail excursion for a bar of mine that I used to frequent all the time that's been closed for over a year, and it's reopening tomorrow. So I was going to get a lot of my old barfly buddies to get together on Friday afternoon. So,
well, you could always go sit outside.
Yeah, that's an idea. That's an idea.
You know, just watch the people.
I don't know. We'll coordinate. Maybe you'll come. All right. Have a good day, Juliet. Have a good day, everybody. Stay tuned for an action-packed Bernie-less Bernie and Sid show. Peter King will be here. Bo Deedle will be here. And Laura Curran will be here. But Sid Rosenberg's got a lot to say about a great deal. Have a great day, everybody.
Bye, guys.